Hello, it's once again the Saturday DFS special podcast. That means I am Matt Harmon from Yahoo, and I'm joined by TJ Hernandez from 4 for 4. TJ, I don't even really know where to start this week. Yeah. Normally I ask you like a, I normally ask you for a grand view take.
Yeah.
About the slate. I feel like there's really nothing more grand view to say than this slate is going to get weird.
Yeah, the grand view is don't start making lineups until about 20 minutes before kickoff on Sunday.
Yeah, seriously. Take all, like whenever you listen to this, remember to bring your grains of salt for one. And yeah. Then you save all this information, write it in your little notebook, and then try to get to it, you know, like you said, yeah. Sunday morning. Get to it Sunday
I will morning. I will say, in all seriousness, even besides all of the COVID concerns and injuries that we have going into the week, it was already setting up for one of the lightest running back weeks we've seen mm-hmm. all season. And on Yahoo, where it is half PPR scoring, we typically see teams lean towards a three running back build. This might be the first week all season, and I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but just intuitively, where we have an overwhelmingly high number of lineups that use a wide receiver in the flex. So that does set up a unique situation. Like, the flex is one of the easiest ways to be unique if you understand how the week is going to play out. So I do think we'll see very few three running back lineups. So if you are playing large field tournaments like the Baller, it might be of interest to try to find a way to play three running backs where that's probably not going to be very popular.
I mean, yeah, we'll talk some more in-depth running back picks in a second, but you just look at the top of the running back like main slate. Joe Mixon is the highest ranked guy at $31. I mean, that's absurd. You know, we've seen some guys push 40 several times. Yeah. Obviously, yeah. Jonathan Taylor's on the Saturday slate. Nick Chubb, yep. maybe Nick Chubb is on the Saturday slate.
If that game goes,
it's a whole thing, man. Who knows yeah. what's gonna happen? But anyways, the other guys behind Joe Mixon, James Conner, $29. He's questionable. Aaron Jones is in a timeshare. He's 27. Then you start to get the Cordarrelle Patterson, Eli Mitchell, Daryl Henderson, who's still on COVID as of right now. $26. Like, it is a very, very strange running back landscape. And, you know, again, we'll get to it later. There's no real like slam dunk as of right now, no like slam dunk value guys either.
Yeah.
But again, we'll get to that when we talk running backs. Absolutely. Let's jump right into the quarterback position though, TJ, and we will get it started with your favorite, my favorite, everybody's favorite quarterback one, Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, I mean, we all know Josh Allen's upside. He became just the fourth passer ever last week to go over 300 passing yards and 100 rushing yards in a single game. So we know that the upside is there in this offense. I think the big thing to note this week, besides the fact that he's dealing with the foot injury, but I don't see any way he doesn't play with them almost in a need-to-win-out scenario for the playoffs, that just his salary relative to the field is very affordable compared to what we've seen. Josh Allen has been one of those guys that you've talked about that we've seen well over $40 this week. We have three quarterbacks on the slate with a higher salary than Josh Allen's $34. So he's still relatively high salary, but it's very rare that we see three quarterbacks with a higher salary. He's $6 less than Kyler Murray, who is the top quarterback on the slate. So relative to Yahoo salary cap, that is a pretty significant difference. Over the last 6 weeks, the Bills have overtaken the Buccaneers as the most pass-heavy team in the league. They are the only team throwing at least 70% of the time in neutral game script in that time span. And in that same stretch, Carolina has allowed the 10th most fantasy points per pass attempt. So even if Josh Allen can't run as much as we're used to, the Panthers have allowed very high passing efficiency lately.
Yeah, and like you look at that Panthers defense, we've talked about how they go so deep at cornerback at different times yeah. of the season, but you know, injuries have started to kind of take their toll there, and there's just all kinds of situations going on. You know, Stefon, the Panthers, I mean, don't even get me started on the Panthers.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it is a sneaky way, like we don't need more reasons to find upside with Buffalo, but I do like playing offenses against opposing offenses that are struggling, just because that means that many more possessions, better field position. Like the Panthers without CMC, yeah. they're in this, you know, they're in this quarterback rotation now. They're saying that they're going to be rotating Cam and PJ Walker in. So I mean, it's the spread is 10.5. The real result could be, you know, Bills might win by 30.
legitimately they might win by 30. Yeah. And I think that's a great point. Like offenses that are truly struggling, you know, you do get those advantageous field positions. I love that. I mean, they can do the whole rotation thing with Cam Newton if he turns the ball over all they want, but like PJ Walker might know the 4-minute, 2-minute offense, but he stinks. So like, what are we really doing here? Yeah, that's a tough scene there for the Carolina Panthers. I don't want this podcast to go an hour and a half. I could probably talk about how bad the Panthers are for an hour and a half. So let's move on to a good quarterback, Matthew Stafford, $32, coming off a really good game against the Arizona Cardinals. Now, obviously, a lot of COVID situations with the LA Rams. Odell Beckham, like, is there a chance he could get, could he get active for this game? It's probably getting pretty dicey at this point. Either way, I really like the way Stafford played last time we saw him. Overall, too, this just should be a pretty exciting game for fantasy. You know, Beckham or not, like Van Jefferson's another guy I think is a good player. You know, him and Odell are the only two receivers since week 12 that have caught 3 touchdowns. So, like, these guys, they have enough depth here to overcome that loss.
Yeah, and this game actually doesn't have the highest over-under, and there are quite a few teams with a higher implied point total than the Rams, but especially if Odell is out with Stafford, with us getting very concentrated targets between Cooper Kupp and Van Jefferson, if Odell is out, and just this way people are expecting this game flow to go, this is just a very stackable game with Stafford. Mm-hmm. He had a good game against Seahawks earlier in the season, and we should note, I mean, the Odell thing, just before we started recording this on Thursday, we did get note that like NFL is snap changing some of their protocols to where basically if you're asymptomatic with one negative test, I believe, if I understand it correctly, they're gonna be able to play. So we might get
vaccinated.
We might get some surprises on the other side where players through these first 14 weeks that haven't been able to play with the same status, they might be able to be active.
Translation: ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the wilderness. I mean, good luck out there. And I, you know, you said it was a tough running back week at the top. I picked Matt Stafford, and I'm like, not that jazzed about it. But dude, like, two Eagles quarterbacks are in the $30+ range. Like, what's going on? I mean, it's a tough week at the top for quarterbacks too. I mean, Jalen Hurts and or Gardner Minshew would be kind of appealing, but like, who knows what's going to happen there. And like, we'll get to it as we go. But yeah, it's a tough week. It's just a tough week, period. But even on the main slate for Yahoo this week, it is additionally a tough week for running back, just like it is at quarterback. But a couple of guys sub $30 here. Let's talk Tua first, and then we'll go to Jimmy G.
Yeah, and Tua is a guy that is near the top of 444's rankings because of what you said on the main slate. No Bucks, no Chiefs, no Chargers. They're all off the main slate. So Tua against the Jets in a spot where Miami is projected for a relatively high on this slate, 25.25 implied points. The Jets are last in schedule-adjusted fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. They've allowed the most fantasy points per pass attempt over the last 6 weeks. Again, going back to those defenses that are allowing very high efficiency, and the gap between them in the field is very high, almost 10% more fantasy points per pass attempt than any other team. And even though Tua's numbers, they haven't been fantastic, and he is going to be without Jalen Waddle, Miami has thrown at a relatively high rate all season, 6th highest rate over the last 6 weeks. I keep referencing that last 6 weeks, just trying to keep the data relevant. But even if we go back over the season, Miami has been, they have thrown relatively high rate. And with Devontae Parker back, even though obviously losing Waddle isn't a good thing, I think Parker and Gesicki make good enough of a 1-2 punch against this Jets secondary to be very formidable.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Parker is not Jalen Waddle. He's not as like great of a fit with Tua and with the this RPO heavy offense, but it keeps the wide receiver core somewhat legitimate, you know, with him and Burt Wilson. Like if they had gone from Jalen Waddle, Burt Wilson, and you know, God knows who, then it would have been a tough scene like without Jalen Waddle there. So I think having Parker back is huge for that reason. Jimmy G at $29. I'm not like in love with playing Jimmy Garoppolo, but like, again, not a lot of options here. The Falcons, obviously not a good defense. And this is also a way to get some kind of exposure to the San Francisco 49ers pass catchers. George Kittle is $33 this week. They took a huge stand bumping George Kittle. Isn't this a $10 increase from what we saw last week for George Kittle?
I think so. Because We were mentioning him as like not at the, I think he was the tight end one, but like nowhere near where we would expect the tight end one to be or something like
Correct. Yeah. I think our exact words, like we've seen Travis Kelce be at like $32. Like George right. Kittle should be up there. Yahoo pricing heard that. It was like, actually, we're going to add $1 more just for for a complaint charge. Yeah. So I get it. But this is a way to get exposure to George Kittle's monster upside, to Deebo Samuel potentially. Like, I mean, Samuel's receiving workload has like completely dropped off. What does he have, seven yeah. targets in his last three games played? But like, you know, obviously the god Brandon Ayuk is playing extremely well too. Game winner Brandon Ayuk actually is what we call him around this house now. But anyway, so it's just a good exposure to the offense without actually having to try to play like the guessing game of the pass catchers. And I do think this game could be interesting from a fantasy angle, but you know, don't love Jimmy G, but you know, he's got like a pretty good 18-20 point like kind of solid projection there.
Yeah, and attacking the Falcons is something that we have liked doing with passing games. And like, you know, Deebo Samuel, we hope the jet sweep is in front of Jimmy G and he tosses it forward yeah. instead of handing it backwards, like that type of thing.
That would be nice.
You get the cheap touchdown. But I mean, we mentioned Jimmy G, I think it was in week 9 or 10, as a player that just has this fantastic schedule coming up. And he's been decent in that stretch. He has multiple passing touchdowns in 5 of his last 6 games and just barely missed 300 yards in each of his last 2 games, 299 against Seattle and 296 against Cincinnati. So it's not like there is an upside there, especially against Atlanta. Like 303 is very much in the question for Jimmy this week.
Definitely. I mean, his two best games over the last like month and a half have been Cincinnati, like you mentioned, Arizona. Those were like his 20-point games. The only game where he really shot north of that was the Bears game where he rushed in 2 touchdowns. You're not expecting that normally. But again, sure. Yeah, I think Jimmy G, pretty solid play here. All right, let's move on to running backs. Oh, actually, before we do running backs, if there was one like, and you don't have, this is not accountable to yourself because it's not on the outline. Okay. Like if there's one rando quarterback that we haven't talked about here that could like potentially win somebody a tournament that has some like upside that people might not expect just because it's a tough quarterback week, who do you think it would be?
Well, I mean, Aaron Rodgers definitely isn't random, right?
Yes,
but
right.
He's $32, and I think people are just going to look at Stafford, Josh Allen, kind of in that same salary range, mm-hmm. or save salary, like all the way down to Tua. So Rodgers definitely isn't random, but I think he gets lost in the shuffle a lot this week. I think just the Packers passing game is a tremendous tournament target because Devontae is going to be slightly overshadowed by Cooper Kupp. Like Devontae is going to be popular, but then the big one for me, MVS, is going to be way overshadowed by the other cheap receivers. Everybody's going to play Gabe Davis, Devontae Parker, even like Swaim instead. And I mm-hmm. think MVS just gets way overlooked. So if you're playing like Rodgers with MVS and Devontae, I think that's a fantastic tournament lineup.
Yeah, and like that game doesn't jump out from a total perspective. It's actually gone down, of course, because of the Lamar question. And that's another thing we could talk. We'll talk about. I have Devontae Adams on the outline and wide receivers. We can talk about that later. But I do love your MVS point. He's a guy that people are probably playing, you know, a lot in the single game slate last week and doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Let's bring it back this week. All the same peripherals are still there. All right, let's move on to the running backs here, starting with James Robinson, the Urban Meyer-less James Robinson. Talk about another hour and a half long podcast we could have. Oh my God. But anyways, are you assuming this is like a James Robinson redemption week?
Yeah, I mean, this was early in the week when 444 projections first came out. Robinson was already popping in the values. This was right before the Urban Meyer news. And I was going to be very resistant to the idea. Urban Meyer gets fired. Maybe coincidentally, maybe not coincidentally, Jacksonville is favored for the first time since week one. Also,
I don't think that's not a coincidence.
Also happened to be against this Houston team. And I mean, just the reason I was going to be resistant to Robinson is because I just didn't think that he automatically, you know, gets a big touch share just because they are favorites. Again, this was before Urban Meyer was fired. But then when I start dissecting the slate, seeing how thin the running back field is, like he's kind of the best play on the slate besides maybe one other running back. Like there just isn't a guy like Joe Mixon has the touch share and Najee Harris has a touch share, but they're very expensive. So with them favored against Houston, who is a bottom 10 defense in terms of schedule adjusted fantasy points allowed to running backs. I do think it is Robinson redemption week. I think that it's not a coincidence that Urban Meyer had one of his guys in Carlos Hyde stealing some of the touches from Robinson. Teams have been running at the fourth highest rate in neutral game script since week 9 against Houston. So I think they get back to J-Rob, their best player. He seems like a player that not just like fans, and this is kind of narrative street, but like the team rallies around. It seems like they want him to be on the field a lot. A couple of guys have remarked that he is, you know, one of their best offensive players.
A couple guys. You mean the guy, Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, the guy. Yeah, yeah. So I like Robinson to bounce back, especially $22. He's very affordable.
Definitely. Absolutely love that call. Let's go, James Robinson. I also like Sony Michel at $19. Like him more if Daryl Henderson, for whatever reason, doesn't get activated. But even so, like, I kind of assume that, listen, you know, I kind of assume that we can look at this this team right now is just better with Sony Michel. I think he gives them that like punching rhythm runner that Daryl Henderson does not. You know, at $19, I think on a very weird running back slate, he still gives you a lot of value, even if it's not quite from a salary perspective or a workload perspective projection, at least because Daryl Henderson has missed the last couple of games. It's not quite as clean, but I still think at $19, Sony Michel is kind of worth it.
Yeah. And even though we are going to talk quite a bit about the Rams pass game, you already mentioned Matthew Stafford, and they are just going to throw it to their guys, and they should be fine against Seahawks. Seahawks do still profile as a run funnel defense. They rank 31st in schedule adjusted points allowed to the position. And even though I think it can be dangerous to get caught up in coach speak sometimes, it's very rare when a player gets injured and then the coaching staff really talks up the running, the backup, like we've seen with Michelle. Yeah. Like they've just really been the adamant that Michelle is a very good player and deserves playing time. So even if Henderson is activated, I think Henderson is likely on the wrong side of the timeshare.
You would assume, and Michelle has only scored one touchdown the last 2 weeks, but he's second rushing yards. So there's some yardage to touchdown relationship there that should do a little flipping for Sony Michel. All right, let's move on to some more value play running backs, and let's have the Rashad Penny conversation.
Yeah, I mean, really, after these two guys, if you aren't paying up, it really becomes a crapshoot. But on the other side of the Rams, I mean, Rashad Penny down at $15. He saw 17 touches last week. The concern is that he only played 57% of the snaps. The real intrigue of Penny here is that there are so many popular players in this game. Like, if Henderson is out, Cup and Michelle can... and Robinson too, like they can be top one or two most popular players at their position this week. So Penny is just a huge leverage play off of all of them, especially if the Seahawks can keep this close. We currently have Penny projected as a top three value at 4-for-4, and teams have run at a top 10 rate against the Rams since week 9. So Seattle, if Pete Carroll wants to Pete Carroll it, this is a team that teams have done that against.
And look, I mean, I think that they've said he deserves a chance to start. He deserves a chance to be the guy. Yeah. Alex Collins went on the COVID list Thursday morning. So it just all kind of lines up for Rashad Penny to break our hearts one more time. But in the meantime, at $15, it is a very attractive play. I agree that, you know, at this point, he is an explosive runner, too. Like, I think obviously Houston stinks, but he looked good last week. He was second in breakaway yards last week to Dalvin Cook, who is a monster on Thursday night. So pretty good for Rashad Penny.
San Diego State, great Rashad Penny, my alma mater. So always rooting for Penny.
There we go. All right, let's figure this out, Rashad Penny. Come on, give me a break. Okay, AJ Dillon at $16. The biggest thing here for me is the salary discrepancy between Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon. And I get it. Aaron Jones, obviously, you know, in fantasy last week played extremely well, 2 touchdowns. That was great. But the workload difference was not that much. Not that much between these two guys.
Not that Aaron Jones saw 5 carries last week. If Aaron Jones doesn't score, like we're talking about AJ Dillon is maybe the most popular player on the slate.
Exactly. Exactly.
Dillon doubled him up in touches. So, I mean, if those touchdowns flip, if that touchdown goes to Dillon instead, like we're talking about Aaron Jones is unusable, I think.
Yeah, we're having a whole different conversations. Yeah. We're having a whole different conversation. Six snaps, five attempts for Aaron Jones. The touchdown, like you mentioned, some big runs were there, 7 yards per attempt. You know, from a target perspective, yeah, Aaron Jones gets three targets, catches three of them, but A.J. Dillon ran more routes in this game, and we know he has an extremely good receiving workload so far this year. So, and they went to A.J. Dillon in clock-killing mode, which I think they were using these guys optimally. I think actually from like a season-long perspective, you can feel comfortable playing both of these guys. I know people will be mildly burned off A.J. Dillon last week, but because of the touchdowns, it went to Aaron Jones in prime time. But like, if you have A.J. Dillon, I think you should probably consider playing A.J. Dillon in your season-long league. Who the hell do you have better at this point? And then Aaron Jones is also, you know, even though we're concerned about him from a 27 buck perspective here in Daily Fantasy, I think you can play Aaron Jones in your season-long league. Who the hell do you have better than Aaron Jones in your season-long league at this point?
Yeah, at this point, not much.
Not much. But anyways, like, and you would assume, too, Green Bay is a 5.5-point favorite in Baltimore. I know road favorites, a little dicey, whatever, but still, they should be in clock-killing mode at some point in this game, too. A.J. Dillon, I think, gets in the box this week. I think he scores a touchdown.
I mean, I don't know what your take on this, but I mean, even if Lamar plays, he's on a hobbled ankle. If he doesn't play, I mean, who knows how bad this Baltimore defense can offense can be. I know Huntley had, you know, a decent winning game in relief of Lamar a few weeks ago, but this is a line that hasn't been protecting Lamar very well, and it can get really ugly with Huntley back there. So they can be in clock killing mode even earlier than expected if Lamar can't go.
Yeah, this team, it's about time to call it quits, Ravens. I know you're not. I know they're not the tanking type of team. Of course, sure. We know that they're going to push it till the end. But like, whew, it's a tough scene there for Baltimore. Yeah. All right, let's move on to wide receivers here, starting with DK Metcalf. TJ, I feel like people were going to be on DK Metcalf this week, at least like sharp people like yourself, one of the very sharpest of the sharp. Sharp people were going to be on DK Metcalf anyways this week, despite the disappointing outlook. But then Tyler Lockett goes on the COVID list. That's gonna be a problem for me this weekend. I'll just say that. Tyler Lockett on the COVID list this week. I think that only makes DK more appealing, of course.
Yeah, as I've mentioned many times on this podcast, I have an article that releases every week on Yahoo that goes over our favorite baller plays and specifically contrarian plays. And I was ready to have DK as one of those contrarian plays, hoping that people would be on the Lockett after his big game. But with Lockett out, Metcalf he turns into the one of the best values, if not the best wide receiver value on the slate at $21, but will definitely be among the most popular players. Like, maybe only Cooper Kupp is more popular this week. Cooper Kupp and Devontae, maybe. But Lockett leaves behind 22% of targets, 43% of air yards since Russell Wilson's return. Like, we don't automatically project that straight to Metcalf, but Metcalf is the clear primary pass catcher without Lockett there. Metcalf is actually out targeting Lockett since Russ's return from injury and had a higher touchdown expectation based on 4-for-4 air yards model. Obviously, Lockett gets there the last couple weeks, especially last week, but Metcalf obviously can fill that deep ball role, and we know he can be a high volume guy as well. The Rams are 21st in schedule adjusted points allowed to wide receivers. Metcalf should have a monster day with Lockett out. And Russ is looking very much like the Russ that we have grown to love.
Yeah, Russ looks better. As of right now, Jalen Ramsey hasn't even been taken off the COVID list for the LA Rams either. Although, like, he's probably not going to see much of DK Metcalf because they've almost exclusively used him as that inside guy. I mean, look at it this way, and this is purely making myself feel better about the Lockett thing, because he's in all of my playoff rosters right now. You know, at least this way, TJ, if he doesn't play this week, then I don't have to like have Tyler Lockett put up one of these like 4-for-36 type games that happen sometimes and like watch all the consistency dorks on Twitter, you know, really run their victory laps off of it. While I lose my playoff game, I can just lose my playoff game and he's not even available. So like that it works out better for me, right?
Yeah, definitely. It just makes it easy. You don't have to beat yourself up for the decision. I will say, we've already mentioned this game a couple times, and I typically don't try to outguess the Vegas lines. They're usually sharper than us, but I was really surprised that this game has such a low total. It's down at 45 now. I mean, the Rams still have a deep. I mean, obviously, you know, we do have some COVID concerns, but like both of the quarterbacks are still there. I know two primary receivers are out, but receivers don't typically move lines as much as some other positions. So this game, I just think if you take the Vegas numbers off of it, people would say it has obvious shootout potential based on the over-under. I guess you could call it sneaky shootout potential.
Let's go with sneaky shootout. We'll go with that. All right. Davante Adams at $32. We've talked about him a decent bit. Look, the thing for me with Davante Adams is like, he's the third highest salary among receivers Obviously coming off the game from Sunday night. Cooper Kupp deserves to be up there. There's no way. We'll save it for Deebo Samuel later on in the podcast. Davante Adams, $32. Like, I mean, yeah, I love that. Love this matchup with the Ravens secondary that's extremely banged up and ranks 31st in explosive pass rate allowed so far this year. I could easily see Davante Adams going 10, 140, and two touchdowns in this game.
Yeah, the disparity between, I know Kupp is easily the highest floor and arguably highest ceiling player on the slate. But the disparity between Kupp and Davante Adams is, I mean, what, a target per game at the most? And I mean, they're both such a huge part of their offenses. Not to mention, Aaron Rodgers has been the QB1 in points per game over the last month, like somehow kind of quietly. Like, I know he's, you know, he's always in the public eye, but he just isn't being talked about as like that elite fantasy passer, like some like the Josh Allens and Justin Herberts right now, and Kyler Murray's. So he's kind of flying under the radar, and like Devontae is right there with Cooper Kupp. When they're on the same slate, I don't ever think there should be a massive disparity, at least unless there's huge gaps in their salary. There shouldn't be huge gaps in their rostered rates. And we're going to have, most likely, Kupp is going to be quite a bit more popular than Davante Adams, maybe by 5 to 10% at $6 cheaper. Adams $6 cheaper. So it's very analogous to what I talked about with Josh Allen. Relative to the top guys, he should never have this much of a gap.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I think that like I can't make a lineup this week without Davante Adams and like it. Basically, that's how I feel about it. So we'll see how that goes. Van Jefferson, $16. I mentioned him earlier. He is one of your picks here.
Again, assuming Odell is not cleared for this game this week with on the COVID protocol, Van Jefferson down at 16. Even since their bye week after Odell got acclimated to the team, even with Odell active, Jefferson has 20% target share, 27% of the air yard share in that three-game stretch. And the thing I like about Jefferson as the assumed number two with Odell out, briefly mentioned it when you were talking about Stafford. Stafford threw for 365 yards in this first matchup with Seattle. That's the most Seattle has allowed all year. Very similar makeup without Odell in that first matchup. So they can run some very similar things. And Van Jefferson is a player that could get all of his value in one target. We've seen him do it multiple times this year. He is a top two value at wide receiver, run 4 for 4.
Yeah, I love Van Jefferson this week. I would like Odell too. He's only $17, obviously, pre-MNF adjustment here with the pricing. If Beckham was, for whatever, activated, he would be a good play at that value. But I mean, it just makes Van Jefferson that much better. He's been running more slot routes too. Like, he was kind of exclusively the X receiver of this offense when Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp were the other two guys. Now with Beckham, who is purely a perimeter receiver, they are having Van Jefferson take more than 50% of his snaps from the inside, which is a very intriguing fit. That's actually kind of more akin to his pre-draft profile, like, which I didn't know I didn't assume that was the best fit for him, but I think it's good.
And it's very Deshaun-esque, right? Run those deep routes right up the seam, and like kind of what they were hoping they would get when they signed Deshaun before the preseason. So, you know, let that very fast wide receiver split those safeties instead of get on the outside. And I think Matt Stafford likes that throw. So I do like that point a lot.
I don't think that people are giving Van Jefferson enough credit for the season that he's having. Like, I think he's going to be – he's a guy drafted a ton – this year. I'm probably like, I would try to load up on him in Dynasty, like, before he really erupts, like, especially if Beckham's not back there next year. I think he could go pretty ham. So really like the player that is Van Jefferson. A guy I'm less bullish about as a player, but I think, like, it's time to get Gabe Davis fired up here. Season high 83% of the snaps last week. Emmanuel Sanders has basically done nothing for a long time, and now he's hurt. I think it made sense, TJ, for I feel like we've had the Gabe Davis conversation on here, or like we alluded to it last week, right? That he might be starting to get interesting here, especially at a depressed salary. And, you know, he's scored a couple of touchdowns. It feels like even when he's been on the field the last few weeks, they've been trying to get him the ball. I think the Bills were smart to hedge their bets on Gabe Davis to start the year. Mm-hmm. But like, I mean, they've been having old man Manny Sanders as like the vertical receiver of this offense. Yeah. And like, it's kind of to the, like, enough of that point of the season here with Manny Sanders. Like, Gabe Davis can't do everything. He's not a perfect player, but he can burn, baby. So like, let's get, and the Bills need that. The Bills need like a big play threat in this offense right now. I really love Gabe Davis at $12.
Yeah, you you talked about someone that you drafted a ton in Van Jefferson. Davis is a player that I drafted, and I played in a lot of deep leagues, so I've reluctantly or maybe stubbornly held on to Davis all year. So I'm
just
I'm
in time for the consolation bracket.
Yeah, yeah. Hey.
I'm ready for
him to pop. I mean, Manny Sanders, his injury happened early in the game last week, and with that, we saw Gabe Davis play 83% of snaps. It was highest snap share all year. And this goes back to late last season when he got an increased snap share. He was really able to pop. And again, not on a lot of volume, but on those big splash plays, as you alluded to. But even with Manny Sanders active, over the last 6 weeks, Gabe Davis is second in yards per route run among all players with at least 50 routes over that 6 week span. Also tied for the ninth most red zone targets in that span among wide receivers. So there's a ton to love about Gabe Davis. You know, I was hoping he wouldn't be super popular going into this week as we kind of hit the content portion of the week. I'm seeing his name pop up a lot. So if you are building around him, expect him to be quite a popular play with Josh Allen this week.
Two things, DJ. All those points, I think, back up kind of what I was saying, is that it feels like, and the numbers back it up, that they're trying to get him the ball even when he is on the field. Because I think he brings, I keep saying that they needed like a play. They need a player like Gabe Davis if Gabe Davis was good. And I don't mean, I'm being disrespectful there, Gabe Davis. I realize that. But like, you know what I mean? Like, they need a big body.
They need Van Jefferson.
They need Van Jefferson. Yeah. That makes perfect sense. Same draft class, I believe, but not Gabe Davis went much, much later. So like, that's fine. I'm trying not to be too disrespectful here to Gabe Davis, but number two, I will be disrespectful. You know, you could have asked me about the Gabe Davis pick before, like, you know, you have my number. You could have asked me about that in the off season.
I just wanted as many Bills as possible. And Josh Allen was going early. So I was sprinkling all three throughout rosters.
It was
a long time ago. What are we talking about redraft for?
It's a good question, man. It's a good question. Good God. I mean, Gabe Davis will probably, by the end of the week, he'll be a top 10 ranked receiver, the way things are going.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, let's talk tight ends, and we're going to stay in Buffalo here with Dawson Knox.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned that Gabe Davis is a player that will probably be very popular by the time Lock comes around on Sunday. So if you're looking for a pivot off of Gabe Davis, very few people are going to want to pay all the way up for $20 to $21 when you can get Stephon Diggs for six or so. I don't remember his salary. I think it's $29, $7 or $8 more, or go all the way down to Davis at $12. So he is just really a great pivot off of those guys. Even though I said you know, love Josh Allen despite the possible injury, he might be a little limited as a rusher, so that could see an uptick. Just an over, I don't even know if Buffalo can pass more, but you know, Josh Allen's runs turning into some more short passes, which can benefit Dawson Knox. 6+ targets in 3 of his last 4 games, and tied for the 4th most red zone targets among tight ends since returning from his injury. So like Gabe Davis, they're using him heavily around the goal line. And obviously we love the Bills this week, so stack the Bills.
Love it. Yeah, I mean, I definitely totally cool with stacking the Bills this week, and good luck maybe trying to run it back with one of these Panthers guys. Sticking with some tight ends here, Mark Andrews looks like he's officially going to take over the tight end one spot from Travis Kelce for the first time in forever.
Yeah.
Mark Andrews, even without Lamar Jackson last week, 11 targets, 11 catches, 115 yards and a touchdown. So I don't really care who plays quarterback. Like, there's a $10 discrepancy now between Mark Andrews and George Kittle. And I get George Kittle deserves it, but Mark Andrews might deserve it too.
Yeah, I mean, so you're on board with Andrews if Huntley's in there?
I think so. I think I'm still on board. I mean, that might also just depress his roster rate too. And I look at the tight end landscape, and there's really not that much I'm that jazzed about.
Sure. Yeah, I don't have a strong read on how the offense will shake out if Huntley's in there. If I do recall, in his limited time, we did see a slight boost to targets to Rashad Bateman, but again, that's a very small sample size. 4-for-4 does the we have a model called the breakout receiver model that basically just looks at expected fantasy points, all the metrics combined into one. The only player with more expected fantasy points than Andrews over the last 3 weeks is Justin Jefferson.
Love it. That is pretty good, right? All right, Zach Ertz, your second pick here at $18.
And we haven't had a chance to talk about this game, but really the offense that is most likely expected to run away with the huge game, at least from an implied point total point of view, is the Cardinals, projected for 30.25 implied points, favored by 13. I mean, the issue is DeAndre Hopkins is out. We don't know if James Conner is going to be healthy. Kyler Murray can be popular on his own, but who do you pair him with? I mean, AJ Green, Christian Kirk, sure, but is any of them going to dominate targets? Zach Ertz at $18 is very affordable. He's a top two value on 4-for-4. He's seen 5+ targets in 4 of his last 5 games, including 7 targets last week. And we do see tight end success typically correlates with a positive team game flow. Obviously, Arizona should have that as 13-point favorites. So if I'm looking to, and as you mentioned, very weak tight end slate, if you're going to correlate Kyler Murray with somebody, why not make it easy, make it your tight end, and take the guesswork out of that position?
Don't hate that. Don't hate to take the guesswork part out of it. Yeah, Kyler Murray is very appealing if you can get to him at $40. Mm-hmm. And I think there are several lineup builds. Like if you have Rashad Penny, Gabe Davis, and Devontae Parker, like you could potentially get up to you can get to Kyler Murray and still even have a guy like Devontae Adams or Mark Andrews. And I may or may not just be looking at one of the lineups I built right now as I said this. So like, I mean, it's proof. I'll tell you, it can happen.
Yeah.
All right. Kyle Pitts at $14. I don't know what, whatever.
I mean, I know it's been bad, but you kind of have to be when you're following volume, sometimes it takes a really long time for that volume to hit, yep. Right? And he's still getting targets, and it's people love writing players off. And
yeah.
he's the primary target. He's still near the top of the league in target share for tight end. Obviously, Matt Ryan hasn't done much to support Kyle Pitts, but volume begets fantasy points, and eventually I think it happens.
Indeed it does. At $14, he's fourth among tight ends in targets. It's going to happen at some point. It's gonna have. He's only scored one effing touchdown all year. Like he's.
It did happen. There was a 2-week stretch where it did happen, and we thought it was happening, and it just all fell apart.
I mean, the worst part about it too is like we go from, oh wow, he didn't have Calvin Ridley, you know, against the Jets in that London game, and then he has his first blow up game. We get back to America, and he has Calvin Ridley. He has another blow up game. It's like, oh man, and then Calvin Ridley goes away, and then nothing happens. It's
yeah, he is a great example of why whatever side you're on, I mean, because it's been a roller coaster, but those mid-season victory laps or those 4-week victory laps, those 1-week victory laps, wait till the end of the season.
Oh, one of the,
you're going to be deleting some tweets.
Yeah, just don't tweet. There's the lesson, as it always is. One jackass on this podcast, one of the two jackasses on this podcast, mm-hmm. me and Sully, who's producing it, one of us said that like you should probably just go ahead and trade Travis Kelce for Kyle Pitts plus, because you probably could have done it in the middle of his like stretch. By the way, I was the jackass. So
no, yeah, it's. I mean, hey, listen, he was a polarizing player, obviously, given his pedigree plus ADP going in the season, and everyone wanted it to happen a lot. I hopefully it still does. There's still a little bit of season left.
Yeah, I mean, he's third among tight ends in yards. So
yeah.
He just hasn't scored touchdowns, to be honest. I mean, that really is the thing. So, and at some point, he probably will go, you know, because math, he'll go on like a 3-game touchdown streak here to end the season, one of them being this week at $14. So play him in your little daily fan. I also still want to continue to bet against the 49ers pass defense. I don't think they're very well manned back there. Although Nick Bosa will probably eat Matt Ryan for lunch, but whatever. All right, defense. Let's talk Eagles at $15.
I mean, this one, there isn't much analytics to the pick. Washington is down over a third of their normal roster right now because of COVID, or I don't know if they're going to be down come Sunday, but over a third of their roster is on the COVID list. They're up to 21 guys or something like that. So, I mean, I don't, again, who knows? We're recording this on Thursday. What happens with games like the Browns and this Washington game, if the NFL just lets these games go off. But as it stands, Eagles should handle this one very easily. Like Washington is, they could legit have like 20 practice squad guys on their active roster this week. So they're already bottom 10 in adjusted sack rate allowed. It could just be really ugly for Washington. So, I mean, whatever you think about the situation at hand from a fantasy perspective, you know, I guess we have to take advantage of it.
If you're looking for a defense that isn't like a COVID boost or whatever, the Steelers at $13, I actually think seem pretty misevaluated here to me. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a really low salary for the Steelers, who still have TJ Watt. TJ Watt is like legitimately won games for the Steelers, like basically by himself this year.
Yeah.
Tennessee's offensive line is probably played above its head for the most part this year. But I still think Ryan Tannehill has had a couple games where he's made a ton of mistakes, stacked mistakes. This looks like a good game to bet on that. It's in Pittsburgh, too. I just think the Steelers are way too cheap.
Yeah, I mean, this doesn't even have anything to do with fantasy, but or this pick directly. But like when you're so caught up in DFS and fantasy, I don't know if this happens to you, but sometimes like you just don't realize a team's record because of how you perceive them fantasy. And to me, Pittsburgh is like a 3-win team, but they're actually 500 somehow.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, I don't particularly like the Steelers. I mean, they're not like, obviously, I would love somebody, you know, look, we all know what the deal with the Steelers are, right? Like, everybody wants Ben Roethlisberger around. They're boring to watch, blah, 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 blah. But I've said this all year, like, the Steelers are a good team. People hate it, but they're a good team because, like, they'll drag you down into the muck and, like, kick your ass down there. Like, that's
exactly,
they're that type of team, and that wins games. They're probably going to go to the playoffs, so, like, people should just get used to it.
No, I'm not even like anti-Steelers or anything, but just from like, it just, they just feel like a team that shouldn't be good. And they, and it, a lot of it has to do like their defense just keeps it around. They keep the game slow. So yeah, Steelers at 13, I'm into it.
And Ryan Tannehill is sixth in terms of sack rate among quarterbacks behind mm-hmm. such luminaries as Justin Fields, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Zach Wilson, and Russell Wilson. Some of these guys haven't even played a full season. So, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of sacks to be had.
I think we should start calling more quarterbacks luminaries. I like that.
Big fan of luminaries. Big fan. All right, let's talk flex plays. And we got another post-urban bump here for your flex pick.
And this one is very off the board, but I think it has a ton of tournament winning upside. Marvin Jones at $14. Already mentioned James Robinson is going to be the mega chalk, probably the most popular running back on the slate. The narrative here is that Urban Meyer out, James Robinson up, free James Robinson. And that's fine. But one thing that is very important here is that we're going to have Daryl Bevel in full control. Now, I know Daryl Bevel has been the offensive coordinator all season. How much control he's had of how the offense is actually played, we're not sure, because obviously Urban Meyer is very much likely to be in control of things like that.
I don't know. Maybe not. Urban Meyer seems like he's not been doing much anything.
He's also not a micromanager.
Who's playing on defense. So wouldn't really.
The point is, Daryl Bevel, one thing that I do like about him as a play caller is he's historically been one of the coaches that calls deep balls at one of the highest rates in the league. We haven't seen Jacksonville use a lot of those plays and definitely not connect on a lot of those plays. But we saw Bevel as a player that unlocked Stafford a few years ago in Detroit before Stafford had the injury that 8-game season where he was just tearing it up in terms of efficiency. A lot of that had to do with the deep ball. Marvin Jones, obviously their best deep ball option. And there's suddenly like this clamoring for Laquon Treadwell as a good DFS option, which is just
good God.
Just ridiculous to me. But really the biggest point of Marvin Jones, even though I say all that about Daryl Bevel, like I don't think he just comes in and changes things overnight, but it's just such a huge leverage opportunity in a spot where I do think that the Jaguars, obviously they are favorites first time since week one, like I mentioned. Jaguars can have a very good offensive game against this Houston Texans team. In addition to all of the things that they've allowed to running backs, also second highest completion percentage on those deep balls, the most yards per attempt on deep balls, passes of 20 or more yards. So there is a chance that we see Trevor Lawrence let it rip a little bit, and I think Marvin Jones would be the big beneficiary in that scenario.
Did you see Daryl Bevel's press conference when the reporters asked, like, said to him, you know, you could have like more wins than Urban by the time the season's over, because like they play the Jets and the Texans to end the season, and he just Bevel just smiled, and it was like that says it. That just says it all. That says it all. Anyways, Devontae Parker at $17, I think, is interesting. We've kind of alluded to it this whole podcast, but like getting that bump up here, it again, not quite the same ideal gorgeous fit as Jalen Waddle is, but a potential volume boost. I kind of like Devontae Parker at $17 before the Jalen Waddle news anyways. I was third in routes run among that team before the last time we saw them, behind Jalen Waddle and fake tight end Mike Gesicki, but has the highest ADOT on the team among those three as well. So I think we could get a couple big plays here against the Jets.
Yeah, he saw 5 targets coming off injury in week 13, only played 71% of the snaps. That should be closer to 100% this week with Waddle out. And a lot of people probably don't remember. I mean, it was somewhat injury related, but we did see Parker get a really big bump in targets last year once Tua took over for Fitzpatrick. So, I mean, I think that I think Parker can be, you know, a 25% target share guy this week.
Yeah, why not? I mean, he's a good player. I don't, not the biggest Parker fan, but he's fine. He's whatever.
Yeah,
all right, let's
talk. We've got a lot of volume.
Yes, we have. Let's talk fades here. And I think we both got some obvious ones. You've got Zeke. Yeah. Tell us why. Because he can't run.
Yeah, it seems obvious if we've been watching the Cowboys the last few weeks, but we mentioned how bad of a running back slate this is. Dallas is a huge favorite. I think Zeke can just like accidentally become a popular player because there's so few options. Like I could foresee Zeke getting in like 15-20% of baller lineups, but the thing that I said I don't know if it was on this pod or a different one show last week, but going into the week with Tony Pollard likely out last week, the thing I was concerned about is that I thought that there was a way that Dallas was going to find a option to spell Zeke. Like, I just didn't see a scenario where he was on the field for 100% of snaps. I thought maybe it was through more empty sets and a higher passing rate. We just saw it be with the next running back up. And I don't see any reason that that doesn't continue to happen. There's just no way that Zeke is going to play anywhere close to like 80-90% of snaps.
Yeah, it's just really not in the cards. I agree with you on that one. Also not in the cards, me playing Debo Samuel at $32.
Mm.
Not going to happen. I mean,
you can't.
34. Because Devontae Adams is 32 among wide receivers. And then, yeah, so he's the third. He's the third priced guy, Devontae Adams. Debo Samuel's 34. No, I mean, dude, he's a distant third behind George Kittle and Brandon Ayuk in weighted opportunity per game since week 11. I mean, these guys.
This sounds crazy because of what we've seen from Debo this year and for how much of a target hog he was early. But at this point, the way they're using him, like the question I would pose to somebody that would want to play him right now is, would you play Cordarrelle Patterson at $34? Because they're basically being used like in the same way.
It's weird though, because he still takes most of his, like a vast majority of his snaps, 30 plus snaps out wide at wide receiver and like 9-10 in the backfield, but like he's just not, they're not throwing him the ball. Conceivably it could like flip at any moment, and like, because we've seen that at times, like, oh, Ayuk will get 5 targets and Debo will get 8 or Kittle will get 3, which would be a travesty, but I mean, that's possible, but like, the reality with Debo right now is if he doesn't get you a rushing touchdown, you're banged.
Yeah, and I mean, we saw that game a few weeks ago where Kittle had like that, those 3 targets, whatever, but Kittle is just such a force right now that I think he is their focus in terms of taking advantage of matchups. Like, a tight end like Kittle's just such an insane mismatch for any defense that, you know, even the worst of coaches are going to take advantage of that. And then we see it, like, you know, the Wallers, Kittles, Andrews, Kelseys of the world, the worst coaching regimes know, like, that is the best matchup on the field when you have a player like that. So I think they're just going to keep focusing their pass game on Kittle.
100%. All right, TJ, if the people found this from the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast feed, tell them all about DFS MVP. They're going to need it this week.
Yeah, and if you need those last minute updates with all of the craziness in week 15, you could check out the GPP Last Look show on the 4for4 only Discord. That is on Sunday morning. Just get signed up for that by signing up for 4for4. We do a cash game review every Monday on our YouTube channel, and you could check all those out on the DFS MVP feed.
And of course, if you found this via the DFS MVP feed, check out the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast. I will be back on Sunday night on that feed with a recap of the games with Liz Loza. It's going to be a weird week, so you'll need that recap to figure it all out. I hope we can help you there. In the meantime, I'm @MattHarmon_BYB on Twitter. That's @TJHernandez. Check us out on Twitter, the whole group at Yahoo Fantasy. Good luck, people. Good luck out there this week.